I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and as always, I am thrilled and happy to be here. You know, the guys in the neighborhood, Bill Dallas, so our man of faith, Jack Rock and Roll Race Car Patterson, and Jim the Contrarian Giordano. We get a lot of email and comments about these guys, and I'm thrilled to have them on the show with me. One of the things I've gotten in emails is that people say, you know, they'd like to get to know the individual guys a little bit more. So every once in a while, I like to do a show where I bring one of the fellas from the neighborhood in and have them sit down and join me for this. Sometimes we might have Kathy in here one time, Marisa another time. But today, we are lucky and blessed to have our friend Jim, the Contrarian Giordano, with us. Jim, how are you?
Very good, Joe. Thank you. And I wanted to wish you a very happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much, James. I appreciate that. If everybody's wondering, yes, April 6th is my birthday. I share it with my friend Jay Yerrick. Jay out there, I know you're listening out there. Happy birthday to you, too. 57 years old. Can you imagine that? Yeah. 57 years old. How did we get here? How did we get here to 57 years old? I feel like I'm 18, but, you know, what do you do? Time moves on. So, Jim, I'm glad you're here today. And there's a lot going on in the news. It seems like every single day there are, you know, these breaking news stories. I don't have the breaking news sound, but the breaking news stories every day. And one of some things I want to talk about is you brought it up before we got on air today about the investigation into President Trump, the Mueller investigation, how that's kind of fallen apart. They have no evidence whatsoever of collusion. Now they're jerking around with this, did he obstruct? And I talked to Joe, you know, the attorney of record, my son, for the show here, and I asked him, can there be obstruction without a crime? And it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. If there's no crime, then how could you obstruct it? You're not obstructing the crime. What you would do is you would obstruct the investigation. So if they're, you know, I'm going to prosecutor and I want to talk to Jim Giordano about Bill Dallas, and I'm trying to get you to come in and talk to me about him, and then Bill is trying to cause a problem with that. He's trying to make you unavailable or cause trouble. He's obstructing my investigation, even though you're not going to say anything bad about him. So you can obstruct justice without there being a crime. But is that what we're going to go after the President of the United States for? Because he said he was innocent? He's a regular guy. How would you feel, Jim, if you were accused of something you didn't do?
Well, first of all, he didn't obstruct justice. I mean, there's no evidence, and even in the Mueller report, they said any type of obstruction was already on the record. It was in the media that could be considered obstruction.
Right.
My concern is we have a government that is trying to subvert the duly elected president of the United States. And they'll do anything. Now they're looking at his tax returns. It's almost we're going back to the old Tea Party when they sicked the IRS on the Tea Party people. They sicked the OSHA. That's not the way the government's supposed to work. And it's getting to the point where I'm wondering whether this is becoming treasonous. I really am. And if it is treasonous, let's say the Pfizer application was all made up, which I believe it is. Let's say the DOJ and the attorney generals conspired in order to remove Trump from office, who was duly elected, because they didn't like his politics. Is that treason?
Well, I think that's a great question, and we don't use the T word anymore. Treason seems to be one of these things that is gone. You know, we just don't even consider it. And I think it's a high bar, and it should be for treason. But is there a definition we could turn to? That's the idea. So we're going to look up a definition of treason. But let me build on your point while you do that for me. You know, we have this investigation, and we've talked about it here on Chasing Justice before, is that if we had the power of these government agencies, these criminal investigative agencies, turning their spotlight on an individual citizen because they don't like him, they wanted to determine something different than the American people voted for, this puts us in a whole brand new place. I was honored to be on Malcolm Out Loud's radio program Viewpoint the other day. And one of the things that we talked about was, you know, what's going on with this you know, this illegal immigration. How is that affecting our country? Is lawlessness going to affect our country? Well, I think if we go back and we look at that investigation, the Mueller investigation, the fact that we're finding out that they planned for months and months and months how to disrupt his campaign right out of the Obama White House, I think absolutely it goes back to that, to derail his campaign. But then once he won, how could they bring up things to use the government against him to get him out, to change the election? That is such a new place for us to be. So treason might be the thing. You have a definition there? What are the definitions of treason?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty innocuous. The betrayal of allegiance toward one's own country, especially by committing hostile acts against it or aiding its enemies in committing such acts.
Okay, so that would be somebody in Congress helping the Russians plant a bomb in the Capitol, right? So they could attack all our politicians and cut the head off our leadership, basically. So you're talking about something in a time of war treason. So other kind of treasonous activities. Now, this is where courts step in. And they look and say, maybe the writers of the Constitution or the writers of that law, that legislation, use those words. But do they? Can they be expanded on to look at what if you use the power of government to remove a duly elected president? Is that a treasonous act?
In my opinion, it is. And matter of fact, then we don't have a country. If we have the institutions of government performing such activity against the own government that he was duly elected, first thing is they can do it against any citizen.
Right.
And I find that very, very frightening. Trump is taking since he's been elected, he's been batted down by the news media, by the Democrats, and it appears to me that this is a treasonous act that's being committed, not against Trump, but against the American people.
Right. Now, the people voted for him, and he won the election. And for anybody who jumps in and says, well, Hillary got 3 million more votes, maybe she did, but that's not how our system works. This is not a direct democracy. We don't just vote on things, because then you'd have California and New York determining the president
exactly.
Every time. Why have the rest of them? So we have the Electoral College, which is part of our system, and he won. He was duly elected by the people of the United States to be the president, and they are acting against him to remove him, which is really, you're right, acting against the interests of the country. We had a fair election. This is the person who won. You don't like it, vote him out next time. That's how the system works. But if they did that, they did that treasonous act. I think the problem is, and you mentioned the Democrats and you know, who did all this, the Republicans aren't helping him either. We have a feckless, spineless bunch of Republicans, and there are some exceptions. You know, Jim Jordan and a couple of these other guys are pretty strong. But the majority of these people are anti-Trump. They're not doing anything to help. Where are their press conferences every day to combat what Schumer and Pelosi are saying about him? Where is the microphones for them to say, well, what Senator Schumer just said is a bunch of nonsense, it's ridiculous, and refute it? Do they ever do that? When they get to the microphone, do they ever say anything to defend this president?
Joe, consider this possibility that the government, much of government, the deep state, they're in the government and in the business for their own personal gain. And Trump, I'm not saying this is true or not, I don't know. I'm beginning to believe that more and more likely that this is true, that Trump was not an insider. He's not in it for his personal gain. He wants to fix the problem with a government that's got run amok.
Mm-hmm.
And that scares not only the Democrats, but it scares a good portion of the Republican Party as well.
Sure, because it upsets their nice lifestyle. I mean, how many times have you heard this in different places where people say, the Republicans were very happy to be the minority party forever because they still had all the benefits. So you know what? Democrats, do whatever you want. It doesn't really affect them. They end up with great housing, great health care. They go all over the country, great vacations.
$50 million on a $150,000 a year salary?
How does that happen,
Jim? How does that happen?
Right. That's where we need the IRS. So you brought up that before, you know, using the power of government, the DOJ, the FBI, and not the rank and file. And you have to clarify that because a lot of my brother and sister law enforcement are in both those agencies. They're not the ones doing this. This was the leadership who was corrupted here. But we see that they have used the IRS. Can you fight the IRS? If they come after you, what chance have you got?
You don't have any
chance. You have no chance whatsoever. You're at the mercy of them. Just like we saw, you know, even with the Mueller investigation. I did law enforcement investigations for years, and when the prosecution comes after you, they have such power, they have so many tools at their disposal that you don't have to fight back. I would show up with some subpoenas for a grand jury. We did a gambling case one time, and we weren't looking for the people who were betting individually, right? But that's not who we were looking for. We were looking for the bookhouse. We were looking for who the bookmaker was, because that person is actually doing the crime. So how are we going to get to that person? We don't know. We ended up with a betting list. And we showed up at somebody's house. We knocked on their door. And we said, hi, how are you? We're the police. We're the prosecutor's office here. We know that you gamble, that you call on this phone number, and you're placing bets with this bookie. And the person sits there humming, and said, we would like you to tell us all about your bookie. How did you meet him? Where do you place the bets? What do you do? We're looking for your information, for your assistance. And they said, I can't help you with that. I can't get involved in that. You know how much trouble I'll get involved in that? Oh, you know what? Here you go. Here's a subpoena. Come to the grand jury and tell your story. Or don't. And you know what happens when you go to the grand jury and you lie? Or if you go to the grand jury and you refuse to answer? Now you have a really big problem. Or you could tell me.
Unless you're part of the elite in this country, They can go to the grand jury. They can lie. They can commit all types of criminal activity, and nothing ever happens to them.
Right, because you have prosecutorial discretion. So that is used for people in that class that you're talking about. That is not you and me. That is not 90% of our country. We are not connected, hooked up people. So look, we had it on here on our show. Jesse Smollett, right? This guy who faked a racial hate attack against himself, caused all kinds of trouble in Chicago. And the prosecutors all get together and decide, nah, this guy's done enough, and they're going to let him go. Do you think if it had not been him doing a thing like that, they would let someone else go?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. But he's hooked up. He's a Hollywood elite. Apparently, Michelle Obama made a phone call, or somebody in her office made a phone call, and everybody's politically connected there. So you know what? This guy's suffered enough. You think you would be allowed to suffer enough and be done?
Jesse Smollett. And this is all conjecture. We have no idea.
But
he made a phone call when he was caught. And if it went to court, he would have to reveal the information because someone put him up to this. Potentially. So they wanted to bury. The powers that be wanted to bury this. Now we have Kim Fox, who towed the party line. Now she's, what do they do? Now she's crying racism. How is this a racist issue when she drops the charges on this person who really committed a racist act, if you ask me?
Imagine the trouble it could have caused in that city. You know, the racial tension it would have caused in that city, that this young man was attacked by two white Trump-supporting people. They put a noose around his neck. What a horrible thing. It could have been horrible to the people of Chicago. To just say, well, he paid his $10,000 fine. A guy that makes $4 million a year, and I don't know that his salary, but he's got to be making quite a lot on television. A $10,000 fine, and he did some work with Jesse Jackson, helped him do community service. He suffered enough. He suffered enough. Do you think, Jim, you'd have gotten off that easy? Because that $10,000 to him, I'm sure, is probably like $20 in your pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's really no penalty to the guy. Yeah. He kind of gets away with it. But you're right. What is the phone calls that were made behind the scene? And I'm not a conspiracy guy. You know that. But I also know that people are connected. They're hooked up. Things happen all the time. So if I go back to my story about the gambling case, that person sitting in that chair really has no choice but to cooperate. Because they're stuck. They cannot fight the government. And not just that it was, you know, Detective Joe, but I was part of the government. I was there to do my investigation, and that was a tool we were allowed to use. When the Mueller team comes after somebody, and they are the federal government coming after you, and they say, you can't even lie to us in an interview, you're going to go to prison for 20 years for lying in the interview. It doesn't even have to really be a lie. You can forget something or misremember, and we get someone else comes in and says, oh no, Jim said this on that day. We're going to indict you, Jim.
All they have to do is make an accusation. Because who has the resources to fight the federal government?
Well, that's my point. You cannot fight these powers that be. And the one of the most powerful agencies is the IRS.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that now the Mueller investigation has come and gone. We see that there was no collusion. They're hanging their hats back and forth about whether there was obstruction. One of the things I know they're calling obstruction was the president tweeting that this is a witch hunt. This is a witch hunt. That he was trying to influence everyone.
That's ridiculous.
And that's ridiculous. He was defending himself.
Exactly.
I agree. Because he didn't think it was right.
You didn't answer my question. Mm. What if it's proven, without any doubt, that this was a treasonous activity? Mm-hmm. That all this stuff, which appears to be true, happened in order to subvert the duly elected government. What should happen?
Well, I think clearly that there should be a special prosecutor, has to be put in place, and they should be giving specific. I see the special prosecutors have a tendency to run away and search everything. Let's give them specific parameters. Were there false accusations made or false affidavits used to get the FISA warrants? That's a crime.
Now, let's say all that, hypothetically, let's say all that was proven out.
Then people should all be charged with conspiracy who were involved in that. Conspiracy to defraud the United States or whatever statute would be appropriate. If treason fits, if the wording in that statute fits, that was what this is. That's how big this is, and it's just being glossed over.
What should the penalty be?
Penalty is probably 30, 40, 50 years or life in prison.
You know, in the past, it was death.
Right, and you know that's probably still part of the statute, death penalty.
And it should be, because we're destroying, not only, you're destroying everybody's life in this country. If you destroy what this country was built upon, you're destroying everything.
So let me
ask you
this. You're
taking down the country.
As an American citizen, this is really not in the forefront. And you're right. You're bringing up this investigation, this whole hoax on the American people. And it's still going on. It is still happening to this very day. You see the Democrats in Congress now are going after the president still because they don't like the fact that the report said there was nothing.
And some Republicans.
And some Republicans. Right. And they're still continuing it. So they're still really going after our country. Has the facade gone away that we the people really means anything? Or is it we the certain people things mean to?
Joe, you hit the nail on the head. It's the government should be, as the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and I don't have the exact wording, but the government should be working for the people. But no, it doesn't exist that way anymore. The government works for itself. And we, the people, are now subservient to the government. This is incorrect. This is not the way this country should be working.
Jim, that's a great way to put it. We are subservient. I don't think anymore it is we the people making the decisions. It's we the people suffering the consequences. So on that note, my friend, we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back here to Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network in a minute. We're going to continue this scintillating conversation with Jim, the Contrarian Giordano.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back, everybody. Ding, ding, ding. Here we are on round two on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. You know, this is the voice of freedom here, this network. Look up and down the dial. Look at all the different shows. It is really, there's some tremendous hosts on here. Malcolm, obviously, Malcolm Out Loud is excellent. He's got several programs on here. You got, you know, I talk about my buddy, Lieutenant Randy all the time. Ava Armstrong is tremendous. They're just some great programs. So take a look at the lineup. Go to AmericaOutLoud.com. There is tons of articles for you to read that you can catch up on all the different hosts and their points of view. A lot of my stuff is on there. I'm very grateful that people read it and talk about it. And I see a lot of stuff going on Twitter. If you want to reach out to me on Twitter, it's at Pangaro Global, at Pangaro Global. So you can reach me that way. A lot of people do. And I'm glad to follow you back if you follow me. So here I have Jim, the contrarian, Giordano here. And we're trying to say, you know, the first segment, we got a little heavy on some things. You know, it's some serious stuff what's going on. We wanted to do something a little lighter. And in a minute we will. But I wanted to finish up one thought, Jim, about the taxes of the president. You and I were talking about this off air before we came back on. Now, they're asking now for 6 years of his tax returns. You know, this is what the Congress, Nadler and his team want to review because they have oversight of the president. Is their oversight supposed to be on a daily basis?
No.
Is that what they're supposed to do?
No, it's a fishing expedition. Let's call it for what it is. It's a fishing expedition. This is not right. This is not how government should work. Listen, if there's something, an accusation with some type of purported factual basis, the Congress should look into it. But there's nothing there.
There's nothing. So basically, the Mueller report said there was no collusion with Russia. But Nadler and his team are demanding this 6 years of tax returns because they want to go back and find some kind of business transaction between Trump and some Russian somewhere that they can go, there's your collusion. Well, if in reality, let's look at it. If Mueller didn't find any collusion, then there's no reason to go looking in his tax returns to try and find something. You know, it's like this. Everybody files their taxes. Everybody tries to be as fair as they possibly can, as honest as they possibly can. You know, I know you and I do that. We try and do the right thing. You got to pay your taxes, you pay your taxes. You know, it's painful, but what are you going to do? We used to say in law enforcement, if you follow somebody around long enough, you're going to find them doing something that you can go after them for. You follow them around. Somebody will turn a red light they shouldn't have turned on. They'll go through a stop sign. Some reason to take action against them. Is that the right reason for law enforcement to function, to just follow you around to catch you? So when I see the president's tax returns, they're asking for 6 years. And I would be the first one to say, if they had, like you said, a factual accusation that 4 years ago, Trump was paid $300 million by a Russian agent to do something here in America that wasn't right, I'd say, you know what? You're going to find facts of that in his tax return. Now we have to look at that. Now that becomes a factual document that could provide some insight into the crime. The fact that there's no crime, we just want to go look at his stuff. That's like knocking on your door and go, hey, listen, we're going to look through your house and find something you did wrong. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. That's all right. We're going to go search around and see if we can find something. That's ridiculous. Why are we doing that?
The Constitution's there, Joe.
There to protect us. So I wanted to get back to that thing. And I know that Mulvaney, his chief of staff, has said there's no chance they're getting those tax returns because there's no reason to give them up. And now, of course, when somebody asks for something, you say you're not going to give it up. It's easy to turn around and go, oh, well, because there's something in there. No, that's his private right.
Given their history, that it's a fishing expedition, they're sick of it. You know, if I was President Trump, I'd say, stop this. I'm done.
Right.
I'm done with your fishing expedition. I'm trying to run a country, you know.
So he should go on the offensive
now. They can do that to any one of us. And we live in a country with so many laws, and I've said this many times. We have laws on top of laws, around laws, underneath laws. There's not any one of us who can exist without breaking a law.
Right, because there's so many.
There's so many of them.
And
they contradict each other.
So if we follow you around, we'll catch you doing something.
Exactly.
And now we can put you under the thumb. Because we really don't want you, Jim. I want to know about your neighbor. And now you don't want to talk to me, but I got something I got you on. So you better tell me about your neighbor. See, that's the coercive
just
power
the accusation.
Of government. Yes.
And, you know, the Constitution brought in the jury system in order to protect people from the government. But the juries in today's world, they take what the judge says. You know something? There are times, if I was on a jury, and they probably would never pick me for a jury, but if I was on a jury, I don't care what the law says. I don't like it. I would maybe, you know, I'm being very hypothetical
sure.
here, I would maybe say, not guilty, because I don't like the law.
Right, that's jury nullification. And that's a real thing that happens, that the jurors just don't like the way the investigation went. And they say, sure, the guy technically, or he broke the law, but we are not going to find him guilty for whatever reason. We look at O.J. Simpson and we see jury nullification there, that the people that were on that jury just didn't care. They didn't like the L.A. cops. They thought the L.A. cops did bad things all the time. And you know what? We think you did something bad to O.J. Maybe he did it. But you know what? You're always doing bad things. We're not finding him guilty. Now, they might have thought that that was a societal good thing to do, to slap back the prosecutors there, slap back the police in L.A. But you let a guy who murdered two people go. And that's my opinion. I believe that he did.
He did.
But that's jury nullification.
Yes.
So we have that. If you have a good enough attorney can make a case, and that's why you get a good attorney. He can go in and say, hey, listen, my client was charged with this, and maybe he did something, but he didn't do it with criminal intent. Now, the government, a lot of that is you have to have the intent. What's your intent? Unlike Hillary, where the law that she broke didn't require intent. It just simply required transacting in classified documents. That's it. Comey and the boys, they got together and said, well, there was no intent for her to do that. What was her intent then? To put it on a homebrew server and to keep it off the government server if there was no intent to move around that stuff without people knowing. But I digress as a man with a grievance often does.
You have to laugh. I mean, when she scrubbed the hard drive. And
there's no intent there. She smashed the phones, ripped out the SIM card. You know, hey, there's no intent there. What was her intent?
I'm waiting for the first trial where someone's going to, they're going to put forth the Clinton defense. And that defense will be, wait a second. Arbitrary and capricious acts of government. The government, everybody should be equal under the law. If you're going to treat people differently, then the whole system is broken.
Right, because you could just say, what? You know what? I didn't have any intent to do that.
Exactly.
There was no intent on my part. It just happened. I walked into the bank with a gun. I said, give me money. I didn't mean to rob them. I just thought they would give me money. It's a Clinton defense, you know, kind of a thing. It's almost absurd, but we're in that point of absurdity now, where there is two tiers of justice for people. The witch hunt continues. Now they're going after the president's tax returns, not because they have a crime that they're trying to get the evidence for. They're going to look for something that they can now, and they'll take, you're right, their record has shown, they will take one line out of context and make a whole big thing about, we need another special prosecutor now to look at his taxes for 30 years, because if he did this and this, it becomes absurd. It is a continuing coup d'etat against a elected president of the United States. And the media, where are they? The reason that there's not a hue and cry, that people are not fighting back, because the media is not saying it's a big deal. Most people listen, no, it's not on the news, it's just no big deal.
That part of the witch hunt, I don't get what's really going on, but I will tell you this, that if the judicial system continues going in the direction that it's going, people are going to lose faith, right, with the American judicial system.
And I think it's happening. Do you think you're going to get a fair shake when you go to court?
No. Remember, it used to be, I was told when I was growing up, if you get into trouble, you can trust that police officer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Mike the Cop type of police officer, the Andy Griffith type of police officer. Now, with the way the system, it's not only the police officer, he's the forefront of that judicial system that's broken. So now you can't trust the cops, because behind that police officer is a broken system. We talk about pot in New Jersey. Listen, I'm not saying pot is a good law, is a good drug.
Marijuana.
They're trying to approve it for decriminalize it in New Jersey. The problem I see is all the people who've been arrested and whose lives have been ruined because of this drug, the negative far out of that, far out exceeds the negative of the drug on people.
Society.
Yes.
So it's interesting that you mentioned the New Jersey law. For my friends out there who are not in New Jersey, one of the things that they're trying to, the law has not been passed yet. There wasn't enough votes to pass it. It almost passed a few weeks ago. They stepped away from it to try and develop more acceptance. But one of the things that was in there, one of the key elements of the bill, was that anybody who had a possession charge in the past, they would have that expunged off their record, because it's now legal So why should what happened to you 15, 20 years ago, you have to put on every drug application you ever go for a job. You ever had a drug arrest? Yes, I had a marijuana drug arrest. You have to put that on there. And that disqualifies lots of people from lots and lots of different kind of jobs that you had a drug arrest. First of all, there's a stigma. You know, we've talked about a friend of mine. He had a marijuana arrest when he was 19 years old for a joint in a car. And he's in his 50s now. He's trying to get a job in a school district. And they said, any drug arrest? Oh, 40 years ago. And I said, oh, you can't work here. You had a drug arrest. Because of a marijuana cigarette 40 years ago, it can't work in a school today. I don't see it.
There's something wrong with the system that is allowing that to happen.
Right.
And so that's why I think it's broken.
You're right. And you're right. It's not the law enforcement. It's not my brother and sister cops that are out there. They're doing their job. They're enforcing the law that's put in front of them. That's what they're there for. Society has said we want laws and we want people to enforce them, and that's the cops. The problem is behind the law enforcement, the legislatures, the laws that they actually come out with, the judicial branch, how they deal with these things. We bring up Jussie Smollett there. This is where the prosecutor decided, we have prosecutorial discretion, and we're going to dismiss all those charges. Well, how does that work out for everybody? You know, how is that justice? I don't see it. I don't see where there's justice for everyone, because there wouldn't be justice like that for other people. Other people on the other side, if they did something racist to somebody, they wouldn't say, you know what, they paid a $10,000 fine and they cleaned up some streets, so we think that's enough punishment for that guy and we're going to let him go. That would never happen. That would never happen. And therefore, you have a two-tiered set of justice. You look at Hillary Clinton and what she did, what Comey did, what all these people did. We started out talking about the treason. It's right in front of us. And the evidence that I know of that Hillary had intent to do this was a couple years ago. She was on a news program and somebody was asking her why she didn't keep track of everything on her email. And she goes, are you kidding? The Congress would be subpoenaing everything I did. They want to know everything that I do. She gave the reason. She was trying to keep her activities private from the Congress, who would have oversight over her. There's your intent. That was never brought up. No one had ever dealt with it. So where are we going to go from here? Are we going to go back and revisit that? Or is this all going to wash away, you think?
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. Because if that was Hillary's excuse, I understand it. I understand it. She's afraid of the Congress doing a witch hunt on her.
Just like they're doing,
on Trump.
Right.
And I think the point I was trying to make is, if you have bad laws, bad judicial system, what you're doing is you're putting the, and you're asking our police officers to enforce those laws. You're putting people between, people are going to start objecting to the front line, and that's to the police officer, mm-hmm. when behind that are the laws and a judicial system that's problematic. That's what needs to be fixed.
Right. So, and that brings us to a great big question up here. How do we, you and me and all the people out there in Chasing Justice Land who are listening to this, who are frustrated by this system, what can we actually do? I think that question is at the crux of this. We can vote. We can vote for who? Who's going to stand up? I'm going to fix this. And then they go to Washington and they do, you know, I said we were going to fix it, but, you know, I think I see some merit in it because suddenly they were told by the powers that be, you want that nice office, you want this nice life, you want money for your next campaign, you're going to vote this way. And that becomes to their benefit. And I'm not saying all of them, but I've been involved in organizations where I got voted into a position and I'm going to do all these right things. And I had the party elders, so to speak, come to me and go, hey, that's great that you got in here. Here's how we're going to do things. Well, no, I want to do, well, no, that's not going to work like that, or you're not going to be in this position very long. And I had to make a decision. Am I here to do the right thing, or am I here to, hey, now I'm in a cool position that I want to be in? You know, me personally, I chose, I'm done, and I stepped away. But I know that's how organizations work. Guess what? This is what we want you to do. If you want to keep all these cool benefits, they got a ton of cool benefits in Washington. It's a nice job. I saw AOC, AOC, thank you, Mark Levin, who gave me that phrase. AOC is what he calls her. She says she's working so hard. She can't believe how hard she's working. Tell that to the guy who's digging ditches, or the pipe layer, or the truck driver who's driving 18 hours a day, or the roofer who's up on top of roofs in Florida banging nails. You tell me she's working real hard running around in Washington, D.C., running her mouth in front of a microphone. That's hard work?
No.
I don't think so. No. I think we got to think of the people who are out there really working. So this system, Jim, is broken, and it brings me to my question. How do we fit? What power do we have? I think, and this was my last point, I'll let you go. I think what we're seeing with this two-tier justice system, this broken system, the facade has now fallen away, and we realize we really have no power. It is not we the people. It's not us. We can't demand that this be fixed. Who's going to do it? We demand term limits. You know who has to do the term limits? The people who are in the jobs who don't want to give them up. They are never going to do that. We have no power.
And that's one of the solutions. If you were going to ask me that question, I was going to say that's one of the solutions is term limits.
And how do you get there?
The people have to stop being complacent. We need, and I'm talking about the people that are the hardworking people who are just, the guy nailing the roof on the house. I mean, people like me that go to work every day trying to support our families, trying to better our lives. There's a point to where we're just going to have to demand that our government change.
That's interesting because, you know, I was saying on Malcolm's show the other day, Viewpoint, which is every Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning, repeated at 6. You ought to listen to it. It's a great show. Not the one I'm on, the show in general. Malcolm's show is excellent. One of the things I was saying on there is that we are so busy, us working people, we're so busy, we don't have time to protest. We don't have time to demand of all these things because we're busy working, taking care of our families. So I was saying maybe it's time for us to look at the Democrats and see how they do things. Maybe it's time for us to learn some lessons from them. Maybe September is a beautiful time of year. Maybe 1 million or 2 million America Out Loud kind of people show up in D.C. to demand that they do the right thing. Maybe it's time to start thinking about something like that.
I think that would be a very good idea.
So ladies and gentlemen, in Chasing Justice Land, we will leave that lying there right now. September is a beautiful time of year to visit Washington. We could all go down there and have a nice rally. I'd even record my show from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and see if we can rally our people to do the right thing. It's an idea. We're going to think about it. What do you think about it? Let me know. jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. Or you can reach me on Twitter @PangaroGlobal and let me know. Would you come to the event? Would you demand your rights back? We'll be back in a minute on Chasing Justice.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutLoud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and here with me is Jim the Contrarian. So we've had a couple of heavy segments here, Jim. And one of the things, you know, keeping with our new tradition here on Chasing Justice, is that we like to lighten it up a little bit. We don't want everything to be so heavy. We want the radio. People are driving home to listen to us in the afternoon. They want to get going every day at 3 o'clock. Make sure you tune in. So I'm always thinking of, you know, the game shows we do, the Mighty Chasing Justice Players. How do we bring something in here? I'm thinking about, you know, we're kind of a conservative group. You know, here in the neighborhood. Some more conservative than others. Some things conservative on finances, whatever. It's mostly a conservative
libertarian.
Kind of group. Libertarian, okay? So I think it's a negative thing if you only think one way about things. If you only think in one direction and you never look at other options that are out there, you never look at other sides of the coin, if you never give them the air that maybe they deserve. You know, I've said this how many times? I said I know lots and lots of people who are more on the liberal side of things. People in my family, I love them dearly. And I think they mean very, very well. I think they think the best of things and it's just a different way to get to what we all kind of want. So here's what I'd like to do. We have a new segment that's going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks called Our Favorite Liberal. And we're going to bring someone on who is really of the liberal point of view. And we're going to let them discuss with us in the neighborhood and see if we can hear their side of things. But in the meantime, You are an intellectual individual. I know you have a very high IQ. We talked about it many, many times. I mean, you can't chop a log of wood with one hand, and you can't shoot a can out of the sky like I can, but you are a very smart kind of guy. So I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to take a few minutes, and we'll do a quick little thing, is take the other side of the argument. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to bring up some things, and I want you to look at it from the liberal point of view and give me some ideas. Try and make the case for that liberal point of view.
I'm worried about doing this, Joe, because it's hard for me. But let's give it a shot.
Let's give it a shot. All right. So everybody out there that's listening, if you are more conservative, then we're going to listen to the other side of the argument here and let Jim make some of these arguments for us and see if they make any sense to us. If you are more liberal, you might want to listen on the other side once in a while and see, is there anything really to what the conservatives are saying? Don't just block each other off, is my point. Let's talk to each other, okay? All right, so let's look at this first thing. Jim, the Green New Deal. The purpose of the Green New Deal seems to me to form a more sustainable future for energy and cut down on pollution in our country. That seems to be the best thing we could possibly do for our future and the future of generations to come. How do you feel about that Green New Deal? Is it a good idea or not?
I think it's a great idea. We need to protect the earth, even if it's at the expense of human life.
Really? So that's an interesting point. How is it at the expense of human life?
What happens to people's livelihoods if you take that away from them in order to protect the earth? What are people going to do? Are they going? It's great. You know, we really need to depopulate the world. That's what we really need to do, because human beings are such a burden upon our world. We need to depopulate it. So maybe we can start a nuclear war.
Wow, that's really far off to the left. So that would be to depopulate, to have less people, you mean? Because people are attacking the planet. So less people are
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So less people, you don't need as much carbon. You don't need as much cows in order to flatulate into the world. You don't need anything. We'll just have a bunch of trees and nature.
And that would be better, you think?
That sounds nice, doesn't it?
It sure does. That sounds great. I mean, clean air, right? Be perfectly clean air. No flatulation in the air. That's fantastic. So let's talk about those cows for a minute. You know, I was thinking about cows yesterday on my birthday. I like the black and white cows. I love the look of them. I think they're so cute. You know, they come over, you pet them, they're cute. But the best way I like cows was on my plate, medium rare, with gorgonzola cheese and
butter. I am offended by that.
Why would you be offended?
Because you're not supposed to eat cows.
You're not?
No.
Why?
We should eat berries.
Berries?
Yes. That's what the intent of nature is, for us to eat berries, and berries are sustainable.
But they are sustainable. Aren't cows sustainable? Don't they reproduce?
But yeah, they're sustainable, but the carbon footprint of the cow is so tremendous. We just need to get rid of them.
So we'd be better off without the cows?
Sure.
So without that juicy Kansas City steak sitting on the plate?
No, you should.
No,
because
good.
Because your carbon, by eating that steak, the carbon footprint's too high.
So I'm at fault.
Yeah, you're allowed to have berries, wheat, maybe fish if you want to be mean to another life form.
So you think it's mean to eat these life forms?
Personally, Joe, and if you want me to move away from my liberal stance, yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, I do not like the fact. I love dogs. Mm-hmm. I love animals. Mm-hmm. That's my problem. I'm a hypocrite.
Well, okay. Thank you, Liberal Jim. Let's get you back on track. So we should change our diet. Now, what about, you know, I want my wife to ride around in a vehicle that's safe, okay? I want to ride around in a vehicle that's safe. For the most of the time in our lives, she had the kids during the day. Now, she drove them back and forth to school while I was out of the house or whatever, and she had a nice big SUV. That was a safe vehicle. She could get around. She could see real well in it. The kids were safe in the car. How do you feel about SUVs?
Why do we need cars? Cars are dangerous. How many people die in cars every year? We should just get rid of them. They pollute the world. You know, a lot of the global warming, climate change, is a result of cars. So we should just get rid of them.
So you put a good point there. Global warming. Is global warming real?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, no, climate change.
Climate change. Oh.
Climate change.
Because we're not warming anymore.
You know, many years ago, when I was supporting, they were predicting an ice age.
The 70s.
I was afraid
of that.
Yes. And now all of a sudden, it came to pass that the ice age wasn't going to happen. So global warming is now the threat. So let's just call it climate change.
Climate change. Okay. So climate change is bad, and that's caused by us. Does the sun have anything to do with the changing climate?
No, it's just a big ball in the sky. It has nothing to do with it.
But aren't the sunspots neither that come
does,
every 30-year cycle?
Neither does the oceans, which is a carbon sink of something in the neighborhood of 30 trillion tons of carbon. That has nothing to do with it. And it also... it's not right to include that carbon sink in the global climate change models because that doesn't support our agenda.
Oh. So you have an agenda on the left? I thought you just cared about clean air and clean water.
Yeah, but that's the agenda that we're talking about, clean air and clean water.
Okay. So how about, you know, they talk about, elderly people who want to kill themselves. Is that something we should do?
Yeah, because, exactly. We should, because, you know, I said previously that we should depopulate the world because people are not good for the environment.
Okay, so let's see what we've covered here now. So far, we know that climate change is real because of my wife's SUV and for other cars. Should we do away with those? Do we go back to horse and buggy? Or how are we going to get around? How are we going to transport there? Let's try and find some solutions to your Green New Deal. How are we going to get around?
While horse and buggy, I think horses, they contribute to the carbon footprint as well. I mean, they're just like cows. They flatulate as well. So I think we should just go back to where we were a million years ago and walk.
Okay. So we should definitely do away with airplanes and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely. Except for the people that we need to run the world. Those people, the important people. They should have the opportunity, since it's doing such great things, to use a car and use airplanes.
And who are these important people? Who would they be?
How do we identify? People that run the world. You know, the good people. The people that are trying to fix all the problems.
So don't you drive a great big SUV?
Yeah, I do. But, you know, I'm trying to fix the world. So I deserve
to do that.
I'm entitled to have a car.
Because you have good thoughts.
Yes.
Because you want to help people. And I know you're trying to get rid of the cows, so is that why you eat all those steaks?
Exactly.
Trying to eat them up and get them out of here. Okay, I think we've made our point here with this. I know Jim is struggling over there. I can see the tweaking in his face, the vein in his neck is popping.
It was so difficult.
Is it difficult?
Yes.
It sounded like it was difficult. Well, I think... it points out, my point was that we can't be closed-minded to things. That I know there are people on the left who have different ideas about things, and they're not all bad ideas. They're just sometimes a problem of how to get to it. Who doesn't want clean air and clean water? Who actually would say, you know what, hey, I think we should just pollute the hell out of all of it so we don't have any, because my water will be good, but yours won't. That's ridiculous. But the point is do you shut down society to do what you need to do, or are there other ways to do it? Right now, America is one of the cleanest industrial places on the entire planet. But if we want to have some of these things that we need to live, we need to have vehicles, we need to have airplanes, doesn't mean we can't make more fuel-efficient vehicles. I'm about that. But it has to be able to travel. It has to be able to have the power that you need to get around. You can't, you know, crawl around at 2 miles an hour. As far as the menu, I have friends who are vegans. I got people who are complete vegetarians. I got people that eat ice cubes every day because they don't want to eat anything else. That's fine. That's their choice to do that. You know, I get they kind of think that's the right thing, but I don't think cows farting is really going to make a big difference in the world, and I like a nice steak on my plate, so I'll admit it. What about the other farm animals? What would we do with them? Just do away with farming. Farming animals, you know?
You know, I think our liberal friends would be upset at the way I characterize being a liberal.
Yes,
but that's how I see their argument. And that's why it's difficult for me. But getting back to the environment, in the 70s, things were horrendous in this country. Then we good laws, Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act. Unfortunately, we've stepped over the bounds. But economic prosperity has cleaned up our environment. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, well, most people listening to the show, we had smoke billowing into the atmosphere in the 70s.
Sure.
The air was
dumping
horrible.
Dumping chemicals in rivers.
The water was horrible. In the last 30 years, we've spent in this country, because we had the economic opportunity, spent trillions of dollars cleaning up the mistakes we made back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
And that's the right thing to do. We want a clean environment. My point is, you just can't shut the economy down and do away with these
things. You destroy economic prosperity, there would be no opportunity to clean.
Right. Look at some of these other large industrial nations, China, India. They're growing, and the Paris Accords that Trump, thank goodness, got us out of, it all pointed at us. And we are one of the cleanest industrial nations in the world. It was just asking us for more money, demanding more out of us, lessening us as a power, while they weren't told that they had to do anything, because they have to grow. They have to grow to catch up with us. So they're allowed to continue to pollute. No, that's not right. They should clean up like we are.
Exactly.
Now, that doesn't mean we are the cleanest in the world. We can do more, but you can't shut things down.
I think we've done a lot. I've been in the business for 30 years. Mm-hmm. As you know, I've done a lot of environmental engineering work. Mm-hmm. What we've done to clean up the environment, but I will tell you this, that some of the rules have gotten so onerous. We're getting down to parts per trillion. I mean, how much do we have to clean it up? So what we're doing is spending money after money after money to get from part per million to part per trillion. And the cost goes up exponentially as you go down mm-hmm. in the levels. But we have cleaned up a lot of Superfund sites, mm-hmm. but they don't seem to be ending, because as soon as we get it to a part per trillion, a part per million, now you have to go to a part per trillion.
And what's the purpose of that? Is it just to be cleaner, or is there a purpose behind that changing regulation, you think?
I think there's an idea that they don't know. You have these epidemiologists who are trying to figure out how much of a level of a chemical is going to kill you. Mm-hmm. And it all based on statistics.
And none of us want to have chemicals that are going to cause cancer or kill us or our children. Of course, that's ridiculous.
That's exactly right. But, you know, sometimes we're cleaning up soil to a part per trillion when you have it in your blood.
Higher levels than
that. Million levels.
Right.
Like things like PCBs. They probably could be just covered over when you have a problem with the pollution. Mm-hmm. Encapsulation. But no, because of politics and other reasons, we're digging them up. And we're taking the soil and we're dumping it to landfills, we're incinerating it. There may not be a need for that mm-hmm. anymore.
So this brings me, and I don't want to cut you off, but we only have a minute or so left, and you are a civil engineer, and I know you're very good with all of that. When I see this argument about climate change, when I see this argument about parts per trillions or parts per billions, and I think I understand that in science there is no absolute. Science, it continues. Why is there not something that all the scientists can agree on about the change in the weather? Is the weather changing? If 17,000 years ago, this was an ice age. We were under 3 miles of ice. We're not anymore. It melted. It warmed. Eventually, it'll get cold again. Why is there no consensus among all these scientists? You hear people one way or the other.
The way I see it, and it's unfortunate because you can't trust even science. We were talking about how we don't trust government nowadays. Even science has been corrupted. So many of these scientists are saying what they truly feel, and they have integrity, because of all the bad ones who've actually come out and they've been caught. You know, all the scandal with the climate change.
Right, they made up the numbers.
Lying and making up numbers. How do you trust it anymore?
Right.
So now people start believing what they want to believe. And they're not believing the scientists anymore.
Right. Because you know what? It's been weaponized just like everything else. They're using the statistics you talk about from England, and they're using that as one of the things that came out, that they made up these statistics so that they could regulate us more. So you're right. How do you trust this? There is no trust in anything, because everything has been weaponized for a political point of view, which is really kind of frightening.
At least that's how I see it.
Well, I think I see it the same way, and I think a lot of other people do. I think the argument, though, for people who are vehemently on the left, I love to go camping. I love to swim in the Delaware River. I love to see waterfalls. I don't want any of that ruined. I want that preserved for thousands and thousands of years and generations after us. But that doesn't mean I should stop eating a steak. I don't think that really has a lot of correlation to that. I see don't pollute, don't throw chemicals in the river. I get that. So we have to find a new way to do that, and it makes things cost more. I think we can have common sense about it, but I think it's been weaponized like everything else in our society. Jim, I want to thank you for being here today, my friend. And, the Chasing Justice audience gets to know you a little bit. And for all you people who emailed and they want to know about Jim, it's funny. All of these guys in the neighborhood have their own fan base. They say, oh, Joe, what about Jack? What's he all about? What's Dale? I say, okay, so I'll tell you. So now you learned about Jim today a little bit. And we'll have him back next week with the rest of the fellas in the neighborhood. Jim, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Joe.
And remember, everybody out there, let's all do the right things. Let's care about our families. Let's care about our country. Let's try and take a deep breath and not be so crazy about all the things that are going on. Fairness and justice. That's what we like here in Chasing Justice. Until then, remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.